just forgot. May 18th, Saturday night, we're going to be having a time around missions for Haiti. I have a sign-up sheet here. It will be in the back today. It'll be a time where we are going to get to share some of the food of Haiti, see what God's ongoing work there looks like, and how we can be more involved in ministering to our brothers and sisters in Haiti. So if you can make it out, put it on your calendar. I think it'll be a good night. Frankie and Alyssa will be hosting us and setting everything up, so I hope you can be there. This morning I want to talk to you. The message today is Behold the Gift. But before we go there, I think each of us, whether we realize it or not, hold images of one another. Do we not? You meet somebody for the first time, you see them from a distance, and you immediately begin to form an image of that person, what he or she is like, what wires them, what their interests are, how they will act and react. And, you know, we can't help. It just naturally happens. And until we really get in close and know each other and get to know each other, do we really start to get an accurate feed or fix on that person? But sometimes it takes longer than others. And in the disciples' case, when they traveled with Jesus, it took some time. I mean, imagine these guys spending day in and day out for the most part, eating, traveling, and sleeping with Jesus. But in many respects, the image that they held was not accurate. And it would be proven over time, just like you might have an image of me. You might look at me and go, you know, I bet Pastor Vinny is a good cook. Now, if that's the image you have of me, you're greatly mistaken. In fact, Frankie and I were exchanging texts the other night, and I was just trying to boil water, make a little pastina with chicken broth and throw some carrots in there, and it boiled over, you know? So if you have that image of me, strike it. That's not accurate, okay? But we have these images of one another, and sometimes they're accurate. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're completely wrong. Other times they just need to be tweaked. Well, with the disciples, they are constantly learning about who the real Jesus is. And it only comes through daily experiences and traveling with him that they are going to find this out. And so I want to go on a journey with you today. And we're going to enter into a moment where the disciples' perspective of Jesus and their view of him is going to be changed. Now, they're traveling with him, and their image of him is, this guy is great, which is accurate, right? And important things are happening, which is accurate. And we're a part of it, which is accurate. But to what measure? Okay? So I want to enter into a moment with you this morning from the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to look at Luke 18, verses 15 to 17 from the English Standard Version. And this is just a snapshot of a moment with Jesus. It says, now they were bringing even infants. Keep in mind that Jesus is traveling, and all of a sudden he comes upon a town or a group of people, and they are bringing their children to him, even infants, that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked the people. But Jesus called them to him, saying, and now he's calling the people to him, saying, let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Shall not enter it. So Luke, when he is bringing this moment to us, has it obviously nestled between a lot of adult activity. And what I mean by that is this. Just before that, Jesus is addressing the issue of righteousness with adults. And he's talking to them about not being self-righteous. He tells a story about a Pharisee who goes to the temple and who is joined in that temple by a tax collector. And somehow that Pharisee thinks himself above the tax collector, and he prays accordingly, while the tax collector is humbling himself. We have a instructional time here where we are looking at what makes a person who they are and how we should look at others. We're talking about addressing lifestyles. Lifestyles. So if I think that I am more important than you because I hold a title in the church, my lifestyle, my person needs to be adjusted. You know? Because we are all moving in the direction of God. Your place and my place might be different, but we are all moving in a place to God. It's addressing a lifestyle. No one should think themselves better than another. An adult issue. And then after this, which is up against this moment with the children, is the fact that Jesus addresses a young ruler whose priorities are off, who's all about his possessions, thinking that they make him right, that they are providing for him a better life and maybe even a better eternal life, that he's got it all together. And so Jesus is addressing that. But now, in the middle of this, things start changing. We have a group of people who are bringing these children up to Jesus. So can you imagine? We're traveling with Jesus. We know he's doing important things. He's speaking into the lives of people. He's addressing issues. And can you imagine Peter looking over at John and going, "Where's Jesus?" And John saying, he's over there playing with the children. Playing with the children. I mean, we're on our way here. We're doing things. What do you mean he's playing with the children? So imagine them all of a sudden being interrupted. And it's all based on where they think they should be going with Jesus and who Jesus is and what is a priority for Jesus. But Jesus is stopping everything to spend time with these young children. He invites them in. And what we have here is, I want to call it a yo-yo effect. Jesus welcomes them in. They come up to him. He's spending time with them. And now the big bad disciples are going to chase these kids away. Get away, get away. I kind of got the imagery of people, a farmer chasing chicken. A chicken, you know? Anybody ever done that? Ever chase a chicken? Oh, one person, all right. I have. I lived on a farm for about a year, year and a half. And just for the fun of it, I one day I just decided I was going to chase some chickens. Never caught them, but I did make them run. And that's what the disciples did for these kids. They chased them. You know, come on, this is Jesus. And he's doing something important, and we're with him. And we're doing something, but we don't have time for this. But then Jesus stops that, and he brings them back, the yo-yo effect. They rolled the kids out, Jesus brought them back in. Because they were important. Because children are important. And so we have this. And then Jesus goes on to say to them, "What's up with you guys?" Basically. Can you imagine him? He's instructing them. I can imagine him reminding them, "You remember the time when we were all standing around and all of you were squabbling about who was going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest among us? Remember James and John had their mom come up and put the order in? Hey, Jesus, when you get into your kingdom, I would like my sons to sit on each side of you." And they all got angry with one another. They got angry with James and John. They probably got angry at his mother. Who does she think she is? Yeah. And Jesus said, "Do you remember what I did? Do you remember what I said?" And I could see them going, "Well, you took a child and you put him in the middle of us. And you told us that unless we become like him, we're not going to get in. We're not going to get into heaven, right?" So I was thinking this morning, not that I'll make you do this, but imagine we had a chant, "Unless we're like them." See the three boys looking out the back? You got three boys looking out the back window. They're checking out the weather today. If we're not like them, we don't get in. I like to make that a chant, right? If we're not like them, we can't get in. If we're not like them, we can't get in. It was like Jesus needed to drive that home because it was about being like a child. There was an example that the children brought, an innocence, an openness, a willingness, things that sometimes you and I lose as adults. But But children seem to have a way of setting an example if we take the time out and spend time with them. And that's what Jesus was doing. Because bottom line is, a lot of time you and I are too busy. Oh, we have children, we love them. We're too busy to drop everything and get on the floor and pick up a crayon and color together. I was so grateful this past week that as my daughter and my son-in-law celebrated their 10th wedding anniversary, that I got to sit in with my girls, with Paige and Mia, to share a moment with them. I'm grateful for that because it's an opportunity to share time together, an opportunity to love them, an opportunity to let them know how important they are to me, how much they are valued, how much they matter. And sometimes that might just be coloring together. It might be watching a cartoon together. It might be tickling them together or abusing them. And I love to abuse children. And I'm finding, I think they like it too. And so it is just an opportunity. Because why? Because every child is a gift from God. I think we could wonder, maybe the disciples wonder, what is in his mind? I mean, we're on the way to Jerusalem. He is healing people. He's doing all kinds of unbelievable things, and yet he's taking the time out to hang out with kids. Doesn't he know they haven't even arrived yet? That they haven't even woke up to what life is all about? What's he doing? I want to tell you, I think maybe this is what Jesus had in his heart and his mind. We're going to look at Psalms 127, verse 3, but just the beginning of verse 3. And in the English Standard Version, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." Children are a heritage from the Lord. They come from God. Anything that comes from God, number one, is good. If we don't learn that in Genesis, we haven't learned it at all. Good. And then it says, in the contemporary English version, "Children are a blessing and a gift from the Lord." Now, you know, if you're in the thick of it and you're raising children right now, you may not always think that. Oh yeah, my kid's such a blessing. He spilled milk on the table, left cereal all over the floor, didn't walk the dog when I asked him to, you know, and you can go on and on. But I'm telling you, the bottom line is, it's a blessing. By the way, when we stretch one another, isn't that, honestly, it might be painful. But meanwhile, it's for our own good because we grow as people when we stretch each other. And that's what children do for us. They stretch us. They take us sometimes to our limits, right? If you have any hair left on your head, you may want to think about pulling it out at times, right? But that's a part of life. And God is giving us these blessings and these gifts. And then the message says, and some of you theologians may disagree with this, but it says, don't you see that children are God's best gift? Now, you might start throwing out other things. So, yeah, but what about this in the Bible? What about that? Best gift. Get little images of yourself. Best gift. How many times you look at your kids and go, I know that person. That's me. Or I'll say, that's their mother. Yeah? But we get to see a reflection of ourselves. And it's good. It just brings understanding, right? You say, wow, I wonder if I was that annoying. And the answer is yes. I was even more annoying than that when I was growing up. So, in any case, children are a gift, and they're precious from God, right? And they are to be a priority. Now, if you don't believe me, think about it. Have you ever been in the company of a senior adult? Any senior adult, whether it's in a nursing home or in your family, and you bring small children into the room, especially infants or toddlers. I have a picture embedded in my mind. It's also embedded on the hard drive of my computer. But when Paige was born, I brought Mom up to Stony Brook Hospital when she was alive, and she sat there and she held Paige in her arms. And the look on her face, I'll never forget it. I don't need the picture to remember it. It's a glow. You ever see a senior adult's eyes bulge and pop when a small child or a toddler walks in and they get to just glance at that child? They light up like a Christmas tree. It's incredible. It's incredible. It's incredible. We as adults, We drop everything. We alter our lives when we say, yes, I want to have a child. Do we not? I mean, we probably are in our back of our mind thinking we're going to fit them into our life, but at the same time, they radically change how we live and how we go about doing life because they're important, right? We know that in our hearts. They're important, they're valuable, and they need to be cherished. And I want to say this to you. Even hardened criminals, believe that children are precious and should be cared for. That even within their own realms, if anyone should do harm to a child, they look at that fellow inmate with contempt. Even they have a standard and a belief about children. Children teach us a lot about life if we would just take the time and pay attention. I love their innocence. I'm a firm believer that a child's innocence should be preserved as long as possible. I think at times maybe mine was preserved too much, too long, because I think I actually, well, I won't get into that. I wouldn't want to. I don't want you to get to know me that well, that quickly. But God uses children to teach us and to show us things. Now, one of many things I would like to leave with you today before we go, before we take communion together, is that this place that we refer to, and this was new to me when I first came in, I probably said this to you before, as our forever family. I want to say to you, I don't know, you know, where you're at with this, but if you're up in age, whether your grandchildren attend this church or not, your grandchildren are all around you, if you know what I mean. You know what I mean? The small children that we have here, take them into your heart. In a sense, adopt them through the Holy Spirit. When one passes you by, acknowledge them. Maybe give them a hug. Let them know how cherished they are. Many of you are aunts and uncles. Now, I know you have nieces and nephews outside this church, but look around you. You're aunts and uncles because we're a family. We're a family. Teens, you're big brothers and sisters to the kids around you. Matter of fact, they need a big brother. They need a big sister. They need examples. And by the way, whether you realize it or not, they look up to you. Little girls look up to big girls. And little boys look up to big boys. And many of them want to be like you. So I hope you're setting a good example. All right? It is important to keep in mind that we are a family. We are to treat one another like family in every aspect, in every way. And so I want you to take that with you. Also, and I pray it's a spark today, and that it begins a flame in your heart, that children are a priority in this place with each of us. It should be so. We should follow Jesus' example to be okay and willing to put everything on hold for the moment in order to be with a child, in order to care for them, in order to give them a little attention, a little kindness. It'll go such a long way. In fact, children will say, I remember Mr. So-and-so. I remember Mrs. So-and-so. How nice they were to me. How kind they were to me. I always felt loved. I always felt appreciated. I always felt welcomed. I want to say to you, in this place, and I might be getting a little personal with you, but that's okay. Children alone. Children are enough reason for us as a body of believers to bring the whole tithe, God's offering, into this place so that it might grow and might be a place where all children are welcome. That not only our own children, but the children in the community around us have a place to come. VBS is right around the corner. It's on the way. We need to reach out to our community. We need to let them know that VBS is happening here and that their children are welcome. I already know there are a few families on my block, just south of me on Schoenfeld, that I want to go with a little advertisement and put it in their hands and saying, introduce myself and saying, we're having VBS, and I want to invite you and your family to join us. I want you to know that you're welcome to be there with us. This is a place where we need to be giving to God what is God's. Because we certainly give to the world what it has coming to it. But to give to this place so that we can do ministry here, so that we can reach young children here, and then some. We need to step up. I want to encourage you to volunteer. There is a reason why we are asking you to take background checks and to get references. Because this needs to be a place that when other people outside of each of us come to this place, they know that we did due diligence to make sure that this place is a place of safety. That when their children come, they have people who have been screened and checked. It's not that I don't trust you. People will come in, they want to know that they can trust us all and know that this place is safe. So when we ask you to let us do a background check on you or to get letters of recommendation, it's for a reason, it's for a purpose. Because every child is worth protecting. Every child should be cared for. And I know it's a pain in the neck, and I know it's one more thing to do, and I already know you got a very busy life. We all do. But it's part of stopping everything and saying children are important. Stopping everything and giving time and attention to children and not losing sight of that. Even if we have raised our children and they have come and gone and they've moved on to another life, part of their life. But to look back and say we need to do this and to give. To give time and attention, to volunteer ourselves, to give ourselves, to serve. I want to say to you, children are one of the first ways we learn to be servants. Now, I didn't say slaves. Because sometimes if it was up to our children, that's what we would become. You know? Daddy the butler, mommy the maid, you know? But God teaches us through our children how to be servants, how to give to them. Right? From the moment we bring them in the house, when there is not a thing that they can do for themselves, but they need to be loved and cared for and fed and their diapers changed and on and on and on. You serve them and you serve them and they become toddlers and you serve them and then they become adolescents and they serve them and then they become teenagers and you want to choke them but you still serve them. You know, but it's all a part of the journey. It's all a part of the journey. There's so much that we learn from our children. And everything that we do helps them and benefits them. And in doing so, we can show them. We can show them the way to God. We have children who are spending time in communion class, who are learning about taking communion. Time well spent teaching them, instructing them, and showing them the way. We need to be praying for them. And in a moment, we're going to take communion together. And so with that, I want to ask you, if you would, with me, prepare your hearts. Let's take a moment. This is always a time that we have an opportunity to quiet our hearts, to cease the chatter, to come before God and reflect and examine ourselves. And in doing so, it's always time well spent. So as you're doing that, there is but one thing we need to do. We need to acknowledge Him. And I want to say to you this morning, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know what's going on. But you're here for a reason today. God has you here for a purpose. He wants to connect with you. And partaking in this moment is a way to connect with Him. One thing is required. If you believe in the name of the Son of God. If you believe in Christ, if you believe, you can receive. It doesn't matter if you regularly attend a church somewhere else. If you hold dear the Son of the living God and know that he has died for your sins so that you and I might be forgiven of them all, you are able to receive. Father, we bring ourselves to you, O God. You know we are but flesh. You know that so often we are, well, we just can't get it right. We hold images of you, perspectives of you, thoughts of you, that sometimes can be wrong. Or simply need to be tweaked. Lord, sometimes our conduct is less than favorable. We struggle in our thoughts and our actions, oh God. The words of our mouth are not always appropriate. Do not always encourage or love or show kindness. But, Father, we know this. That if we but come to you and ask for your forgiveness, it's done. It's done. And so, God, we bring ourselves to you as we are. We ask for your grace. We ask for your forgiveness. We acknowledge all that you have done for us through Christ and that you still do. And, Lord, like little children ourselves, oh God, we come before you. And cry out, Father, here we are. Here we are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Those of you who are serving, please come forth.